Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. Again, Moray Alicia. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Again, Moray Alicia Israel of the House of Israel, bringing you truth or traditions. Today, I'm again honored to bring you the word of Yah. Who is this Yah? Yahweh is the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that therein is. Yahweh is the only king, the only lawgiver, the only judge, and the only savior of Israel and the world. Today I'm honored to be with you again on Truth or Traditions. We're going to again deal with this politics, voting, and show you something you might have not known before. And that's the word of Yah in relationship to this voting. But before we get into our lesson, I'll again bring you another beautiful song from the 12 Tribes CD entitled Called Upon Yah. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Again, Moray Elisha Israel of the House of Israel, bringing you truth or traditions. Today we're going to deal with the word of Yah in relationship to our people. Most of the world hates the black man in America. Most of the people of the other nations that are in America hates the black man that is in America. And our people don't know why. Our people don't know why we're the only people in the world, in America, that's greatly despised and rejected by every other people in this country. They're not aware of the fact that they're the Most High's chosen people. They're not aware of the fact that they were sent out of their own land as a result of disobeying the laws of the Most High. And they are not aware that the Almighty Himself, the Most High Himself, said that these other nations would be against us because He put them against us. And we're going to look into that situation and find out why we are in the predicament we are today, and what is our relationship with the other nations, and what should we do concerning voting and everything else the other people are doing. According to the book of Jeremiah, let's go to the 12th chapter of Jeremiah, because here the Creator talks about the other nations. And He characterized them as birds. And then the Most High speak of the black man in America, the people that are mingled up as a result of inbreeding and as a result of our women being raped. The Almighty depicts His people as a bird of many colors, such as a peacock, many different colors. And if you look around you in any single room that there's three or four of our brethren at, you'll notice that none of them have the same complexion. Why? According to the book of Jeremiah, the 12th chapter, we start reading at the 7th to the 9th verse.
I have forsaken mine house. I have left mine heritage.
Here the Creator Himself says, I have forsaken my house, and I have left my heritage.
I have given the dearly beloved of my soul into the hand of her enemies.
In other words, that's why we're so mistreated here. That's why we were made slaves. That's why we were hung on trees and torn and feathered. That's the reason we're the last hired and the first fired. That's the reason we're the tail and not the head. That's the reason we're the borrower and not the lender. That's the reason we have to go to the other nations for everything that we want, is because the Creator said that He rejected His dearly beloved, the dearly beloved of His soul, and had put them in the hands of their enemies. Yes, we have enemies then, as we have enemies now. The enemy means the adversary. I know many of our listening audience will say, no, we don't have any enemies. Well, I dare anyone in my listening audience to call in and name one institution, not three, not two, just one institution in America that's governed by white people that's not racist. Just one. And I'm here to submit that every institution in America today is governed by racism. You might say, I know individuals that are not racist, but when they are elected to be in the positions of authority, then they must come to their calling and do what is expected of them. And they know that, and that is to hold us back. Hold back the sleeping black giant. Why? The Creator goes on and says in the 8th verse, my heritage is unto me as a lion in the forest.
It crieth out against me.
Therefore have I hated it. We want to know why He hated his people. Here the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all the fairness speaks of about a holy people that he has, that he turned against, that he's like a lion in the forest against his people. Then he says in the ninth verse,
my heritage is unto me as a speckled bird.
My heritage is unto me as a speckled bird. Again, a speckled bird is like a peacock, a bird of many colors. And if you look at our people, none of us have the same identical complexion. No people on the earth fit this description more than our people. You can go to the Jewish people. They don't look like a speckled bird. They all look similar. They all look alike. There's not no great difference as far as their opinions and their skin complexion as with ours. The Creator said, my heritage unto me as a speckled bird, and the birds round about her, come ye, assemble all the beasts of the field, they come to devour. In other words, every beast and every fowl has came to devour our people. They all have one thing in common. They're all against us. And they come to devour us. We don't care how lonely, how oppressed, how afflicted the people are that comes in America. Whether they might be the Yugoslavians or the Russians coming over here, whether they might be the Philippines or the Koreans or the Japanese or the people that's coming from Arabia today. As soon as they come over here, whether they might be Christians or Buddhists, whether they might be Muslims or Hindus, they all were oppressing our people, and they're all against our people. They all consider themselves more special than our people. Yes, and our people are very unique in that we're the only people in the world that every other nation is against. As the Creator says, all the birds that are round about her or against her. And you and I are trying to find out why. Why is this? Find that there's a reason for everything under the sun. The reason is, in the beginning, the Most High chose us to be a special and a peculiar and a holy nation unto him above all the nations that are upon the face of this earth. Let's start reading that in the book of Deuteronomy, the 14th chapter. We're going to read Deuteronomy, the 14th chapter, and we're going to read first and second verse.
Ye are the children of Yahweh your Elohim.
Again, he does something that angers the other nation. They all know that there's only one true and living Elohim. But they all hate the fact that he has a chosen people unto himself above all the nations that are on the face of this earth. And he tells this people that you are a special nation, a holy nation, and a peculiar people unto me above all the nations that are upon the face of this earth. How peculiar is to be different. And we were made to be different. The Almighty told us not to do what the other people do, not to learn their ways or their customs. He tells us to learn not the ways of the heathens that are round about us, because he wanted us to be a unique treasure unto himself. And then the Creator tells us in the book of Numbers, the 23rd chapter, if we go there, Numbers, the 23rd chapter, he tells us how unique that we are. And he tells us that we're not to be like any other nation. We're not to be like all the other families of the earth. We're not to do what they do. And he tells us in the 23rd chapter, the 8th verse.
How shall I curse whom Elohim hath not cursed?
In other words, one great king named Balak, hired a soothsayer named Balaam to curse our people because he too was jealous of the fact that we're the Almighty's chosen people. And he had this seer to put a curse on us because he knows that he has the power to do it. He had cursed other people beforehand, and he felt that he's able to curse us as well. But the Almighty let him know how different we were. And he said to Balak, "How should I curse whom Elohim has not cursed? Or how should I defile whom Yahweh has not defiled? From the tops of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone and shall not be reckoned amongst the nations." In other words, he declares the fact that Israel is to dwell alone. We were never to be integrated with the other nations. We were never to be assimilated with the other people. And we're never to be reckoned amongst the other nations. You're not to weigh us on the same balance as the other nation. For the Creator said, "Israel is the apple of my eye." And he said, "The other nations of the world are but a drop in the bucket to him." He said, "I'll give nations for you and people for your lives." That's how much the Almighty loves Israel. Because Israel was set up to be a nation of kings and queens and priests. And we were set up to be the priests of the Most High, to teach the other world the holy oracles of Yahweh. We're to teach the other world the laws, the statutes, the covenants, and commandments. Yes, we were ordained by the Most High to be a kingdom of priests, a holy nation under Yah, but we did not accept the calling. We went astray from the anointing of the Most High. And the Most High lets us know here that we were never to be reckoned amongst the nations. We were always to be separated. As a matter of fact, one of the greatest prophets that ever lived asked Yahweh as a personal favor to him to separate us from all the other nations on this earth. We find that we had a great prophet in the book of Exodus, 33rd chapter. And we're going to read what the Most High told this great prophet named Moses, whom the Creator said, "There will never be another prophet like unto Moshe, whom I knew face to face." Yah starts speaking. And Yah says in the 33rd chapter of Exodus, the 11th verse,
"And Yahweh spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto Yahweh, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight. And consider that this nation is thy people." And he said, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." And he said unto him, "If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence."
In other words, Moshe, or Moses as you know him, asked the Most High that if you're not going to be with us continuously and be with our people, then don't let us go up any further. Let us perish here where we're at, but don't take us no further. And then Moshe said in the 16th verse, "For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest up with us? so shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. In other words, Moses asked the Almighty very distinctly to separate he and the people, the children of Israel, from all the other people that are upon the face of the earth. What did Yah say? And Yahweh said unto Moshe, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. In other words, he was so special to the Most High that he came down and talked to Moses face to face as a man speaking into a friend. And he called Moses by his name and said, yes, I will separate you and your people from all the people that are upon the face of this earth. And Moses loved that because that's what the Almighty wanted in the beginning, for his chosen people to be totally separated and not be like the other nations. But our people went backwards and not forwards. We started learning the ways of the other nations that Yah had warned us against. And we started desiring their desires. We started wanting to be like them. And in the process of time, we seen the other nations with a man king, a man president, a man Caesar, a man that went before the people. And we wanted a king like all the other nations. We wanted to elect our own king. We wanted a government like all the other people of the earth. And this is what our people said to Samuel. You go to 1 Samuel, the 8th chapter. We're going to see what our people, the children of Israel, said unto Samuel. And then we're going to see the response from the true and living Elohim. We find in 1 Kings, the 7th chapter, we'll start reading the 8th chapter, right? We're going to start reading at the 5th verse.
And said unto him,
we'll start at the first verse, where everybody can understand everything that's happening here. We don't want you to lose nothing.
And it came to pass, when Samuel was old, that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of the firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second, Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba, and his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after the deity, and took bribes, and perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together, and came to Samuel unto Ramah, and said unto him, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations.
In other words, these are not just no everyday fellows. It says in the 4th verse that all the elders of the children of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel. And they said unto him, behold, thou old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the other nations. In other words, all the other nations had a king. And this king ruled supreme. He was their dictator. He gave them the laws. He gave them the statutes. He gave them all of the holy articles. He declared the religion. He said how you would serve God, and he declared how you would serve him. This king reigned supreme, and our people seen it, and they were infatuated with it. The people were doing like you do today in your churches. They was fighting over whose king was the sharpest, like you do your pastors. See who got the biggest car. You brag about how big your preacher's house is. how much money you give him, how he is different from the rest of them, because you made him a god. And this is how the people wanted Samuel. They wanted Samuel to choose a king so that they can be like all the other nations, to have a king to judge them instead of Yahweh. And the sixth verse says, but this thing displeased Samuel. He didn't like it at all. He was infuriated with it. And he was so angry that he came to Yah, because the people said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed to Yahweh. And Yahweh said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people, and all that they say unto thee. But they have not rejected thee, Samuel, but they have rejected me, that I should not rule over them. In other words, Samuel was mad and upset. And the Creator assured him, I don't want you upset, don't want you angry. They're not rejecting you by asking for a king. They rejected me. And likewise today, when you put these rulers over you, these men, politicians, these lying, conniving, and deceitful politicians, you have not rejected Brother Elisha, but you have rejected the Most High. Because our Creator warned us not to participate in the affairs of politics like the other people are participating. So Yahweh warned the people the results of their action if they continued in the same course. And Yahweh said unto Samuel, we'll read the seventh verse again.
And Yahweh said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people, and all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them, according to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me, and serve other deities.
In other words, they always continuously rejected the Most High. He said, ever since I brought them out of the land of Egypt, even until this day, wherein they have forsaken me, and they have already served other gods, and so they do also unto thee. Now therefore hearken unto their voice. But howbeit, yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that you rule over them. In other words, he told Samuel, I want you to go ahead and hearken unto them, but protest solemnly unto them and tell them about the kind of man that they're going to have over them. Maybe it makes them change their mind, because my mercy endureth forever. And no man is capable of being as good as the children of Israel as I have been. So let them know the kind of king they're going to have if they want another king instead of me. And then it says,
and Samuel told all the words of Yahweh unto the people that asked of him a king. And he said, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself.
He shall take your sons and appoint them for himself.
For his chariots, and to be his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots. And he will appoint him captains over thousands, and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground, and to reap his harvest, and to make his instruments of war, and instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries, and to be cooks, and to be bakers. He will take your fields, and your vineyards, and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. He will take the tenth of your seed, and of your vineyards, and give to his officers, and to his servants. He will take your men servants, and your maid servants, and your goodliest young men, and your asses, and put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants. And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen you. And Yahweh will not hear you in that day.
In other words, the Creator tells him in that 18th verse that this man that you're going to choose, these kings that they're going to have, he said they're going to make you cry out in that day because of your king, which ye have chosen you. And Yahweh will not hear you in that day. He will not hear you because you're the one that put these fools over you in the first place. He wouldn't hear you because you're the one that stood out in the rain and snow and cold to vote, even though the vote didn't mean nothing. Even though they can change it with the bat of an eye. Even though they have this ability to do this, they still will not hearken unto Yah. And Yah said, you shall cry unto me, and I will not hear you. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel and said unto him, nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also be like all the other nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of Yahweh. And Yahweh said unto Samuel, hearken unto their voice, and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the man of Israel, go ye out every man unto his city. In other words, the Christ of the New Testament never supposed to have been set up as a king. Saul never supposed to have been set up as a king. If we were obedient to the voice of our Creator and kept his commandments and trembled at his word, we would be in the land of Israel today, and we would not be reckoned amongst the nations. We are the only people on the face of the earth that were personally given that name by the Most High. Israel, when he wrestled, had an angel wrestle with our father. We are the only people on the earth that are named by the Most High. And we're the only people on the earth that had a personal king like no other king on this earth. We had Yahweh, and Yahweh was our king. And Yahweh still is my king. According to Isaiah, the 33rd chapter, it says in the 22nd verse of the 33rd chapter of Isaiah,
for Yahweh is our judge.
For Yahweh is our judge. True Israel only have one judge. And that's not these lying, conniving, scheming, deceitful judges downtown that you can buy with so much little money. But the true judge is Yahweh. And Yahweh is our lawgiver. The only laws that we obey are Yahweh's. And Yahweh commanded us to obey all the laws of this land as long as their laws does not conflict with his laws. Because he's the only lawgiver. And Yahweh is our king. No. Bush is not our president. Clinton is not our president. Caesar is not our president. Pharaoh is not our president. The only king that true Israel has is Yahweh and Yahweh alone. He is our king. He is our lawgiver. He's our judge. And he will save us. Nevertheless, though the Almighty warned us not to participate in these people's politics, and then the Creator spoke out and warned us and told us that in our voting for these kings, voting for these politicians, our vote would be in vain. He spoke out in the book of Daniel, the fourth chapter. Now, this is something very difficult for the average man to understand, especially since most of our people are mentally deaf and dumb. This is only for the living to understand, because the Most High revealed it to his angels and told them to declare this only to the living, not to the dead. In the book of Daniel, the fourth chapter, the 17th verse, it reads,
"This matter is by the decree of the watchers."
This matter is by the decree of the watchers. The watchers are the angels that are watching day and night the affairs of men.
"And the demand by the word of the Holy One."
The Holy Ones are his angels as well. And by the demand by the word of the Holy Ones, to the intent that the living — this is not for you, sir. This is not for you, madam. This is only for people that are not mentally dead — that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomsoever he will, and sets up over it the basis of men. In other words, it's the Most High who's ruling the affairs of men. It's the Most High that rules in the kingdom of men. And the Most High, it is he that gives these kingdoms to whomsoever he will. So let it be known that it was not by your cheating, Mr. Bush, that you got in office. You didn't have to cheat. The Almighty proposed that you be in office anyway. He allowed you to get away with it. It was he that arranged it. So I know you thought that you were the one to scheme and connive and had Mr. Blackwell and the rest of your cronies help you get in office, but it was the Most High that got you in office, because it is he that rules in the kingdom of men, and he said he gives it into whomsoever he will, and then he declares who he wills to give it to. He said he sets up over these nations the basis of man. The word base means low. In other words, the Creator said it's only he that put the lowest of men in office. Now look around you in Korea, in the United States, in Iran, in Iraq. Look all around you. I know some of y'all said, well, that's righteous kingdoms in Islam. If that's so, why the — you have more Muslims here in America than you have any single Islamic country. I have brothers here that know there's Islamic countries that they can practice Islam 24 hours a day, that they stop and pray three times a day. And you're not trying to break your neck to get there, because you know if you get there, you'll probably be raped and heads cut off. Or if you can't find a job and you end up stealing, you'll get your hands cut off. You intend on staying here and then try to convert people to a religion that you yourself would not go and try to serve, even in a country that practices it night and day. Because the Creator says all of these kingdoms are ruled by the basis, lowest of men. So the living won't engage in the politics, because we understand that it is the Most High that works in these kingdoms and gives these kingdoms to whomsoever he will. Who do you think caused all the people to run out the other day and vote? It was the Most High. Who do you think allowed them to overturn the Republicans? It was the Most High. Because he intended on putting people in office even lower than the ones you thought was in there before. I know years ago I said, I can't imagine a president being as low as Nixon. I couldn't even foresee it. I said, Creed, I think this must be the last day, because you said that you set the lowest of men up, and I can't see nobody lower than Nixon. Then lo and behold, there come Reagan. Then I know that you had to be at the rock bottom. And then there come Ford. And then after him, you got Clinton. lying and conniving the whole time he was in office. The one they called a black president. The one that took away welfare from the poor people. And then I thought, since you had him that couldn't get no lower, then there come Daddy Bush. Then after Daddy Bush, you think that was it, then you got Son Bush. And you think this man is something, the worst is to come. And I want to tell our listening audience today, the Almighty told our foreparents what would happen when we elected our own king and wanted to choose our kings over us. He told us that even when we had our own people over us, that they would oppress us and misuse us and abuse us, and they did. And now you did something that's unknown. You went against the law of the Most High and put these strangers over us to be kings over us. And I'm going to tell you exactly what they're going to do to you. These kings that you have put over you, they will be your enemy and not your friend. They will hate you and abuse you, and they will persecute you. They will make you the last hired and the first fired. They'll put your fathers in prison, and they'll bring dope and give it to your sons and daughters. They will give our people taxation without representation. They will even take your identity from you, take your culture from you, take your native tongue from you, and they will destroy you from being a people. And then they will build detention centers, and they will put you in these detention centers, and they will try to annihilate you. And if it's not by the power and might of the Most High himself, you will be completely destroyed in these nations. Look how the Most High cried out and told our people in the book of Jeremiah, the 30th chapter. He's going to appeal to our people. He says in Jeremiah, the 30th chapter, we're going to start reading at the 7th verse. He said, "Alas, for that day is great. There's none like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble," and yes, it will come to our people in America. He said, "But he shall be saved out of it. For it shall come to pass in that day, said Yahweh of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him, but they shall serve Yahweh, their Elohim, and David, their king, whom I will raise up and to them." At this time in history, King David was dead, time of Jeremiah. But here the Creator said he will raise him up again unto him. He said in the 10th verse, "Therefore fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, said Yahweh, neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of that captivity. And Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. For I'm with thee, said Yah, to save thee, though I make a full end of all nations, whether I have scattered thee, I will not make a fool end of thee, but I will correct thee and measure, and not leave thee altogether unpunished." So the Creator says we are going to be punished. We are going to be disciplined. He's going to chastise us and correct us, but he's going to make a fool end of all the nations, whether he has gathered us. Because every nation that Yahweh has scattered us in the midst of has bruised us. And the Creator said in the 12th verse, "For thus said the Lord Yahweh, thy bruise is incurable, and thy wound is very grievous." They're going to have to take a platoon of psychiatrists to address the wounds that have been inflicted on our people mentally. We are so sick that we are now killing and destroying ourselves. We're so sick that we're abusing our own children and our own people. We're so sick that many of us are going to churches worshiping a hippie on a stick because of the self-hatred that we have for ourselves. The Almighty said our wound is incurable. And it says in the 13th verse, there is none to plead thy cause. None. Not the Cubans, not the Iranians, not the Jordanians. No one is there to plead our cause, that thou mayest be bound up. Thou hast no healing medicine. All thy lovers have forsaken thee. They seek thee not. For I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of thy iniquity, because thy sins were increased. Right now we're going to pause for a few moments, and we're going to stop for a news break. We're coming back, and we want to discuss these matters with you. And we want you to join us and give us your input. So call us, area code 513-749-1230. Call us so we can talk about this matter. And I want you to show us in your book, in your New Testament, in your Quran, whatever your book, and tell us where we're supposed to be voting for these people. Show us and identify us in your book. Use the Quran, the New Testament, and identify our people in your book and talk about the plight of our people. But right now we're going to stop for news. We'll be right back. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Again, Moray Elisha Israel of the House of Israel, bringing you truth or tradition. Today I'm again honored to bring you the word of Yah. Today we're discussing voting, discussing the Almighty's chosen people, the House of Israel, who is no other than a black man in America. And I was bringing to the attention of our people that the Most High made us a holy and special, unique people unto him, and that he separated us from all the other families on the earth and said we're not even to be reckoned amongst the nations. And he told us don't even worry about trying to vote for these rascals, because he is the one that makes the final decision anyway. He said he is the one that rules in the kingdoms of men and gives it into whomsoever hand he will. And he sets up over these nations the basis of men, which he means the lowest of men. And that's what you have to be one of the leaders of this country, because you're dealing at a very violent time, which calls for very low, violent leaders to be in office. You can't have a man of peace in office today, but they had totally run over him. But we want to get some comments from our callers. And last time I was on, Sister Rashida was talking to me about something in Genesis that contradicted itself, but we were running out of time. So, Sister, if you want to call and try to straighten me out today, I'll be looking forward to that. And there was someone else that wanted to call, but we ran out of time. So please call, and people out of town that wants to call, we'd love to hear you. All the town callers, area code 513-749-1230. So we're looking forward to hearing you. But right now we're going right in town to the Candyman. Candyman.
Hey, Brother Israel, how you doing?
Excellent. How are you doing?
I'm going to say fine. All praises to God.
All right. Hallelujah.
I'm so glad that God shined down on us, because I sure did hate that if Cranley would have got back in, he would have been able to gross and mope about how he fooled us on the lower level. Now he's going to a higher level to do more things. I was proud about the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
I did vote for Blackwell, and I wanted to give him a shot because blacks beat up on blacks so bad. You know, they never give us a chance and think we could make changes by ourselves, and we can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I have a couple of questions to ask you.
All right, before you ask me the questions, it looked like Blackwell was let down by the people that he aligned himself with.
Right.
The
yeah.
ones that he supported.
Yeah.
I seen the voting schedule about what happened in Ohio and what counties he won, which ones he lost. Most of the people, Republicans all over the state, turned against him.
Yeah, you're right.
We told them that it was a racist party. And matter of fact, all the blacks, mainly that ran on that Republican ticket for governor and everything else around the United States, lost.
Right.
But they
yeah.
do have one black governor that got in office, and he got under the Democratic ticket.
You're right.
Not that they're going to do any better, but Blackwell suffered from the same people that he helped.
Yes,
the same people that he know didn't mean his people no good, but he thought he would be the spook to set by the door and get in. But I'm not going to talk right now. I'm going to let you talk. You wanted to ask a couple questions. Let's come on with it.
Okay. I just had a couple of them. Let me say this real quick. I don't think they would have allowed Blackwell to lead anyway, because the higher you go, the more you see that those people are deceiving you. So, you know, sometimes we don't understand that the powers to be control things and put people in certain places and they're not going to do anything. But I was proud the outcome came the way it did. But there was a question I wanted to ask you about the. You mentioned the 34 and 10, I think so.
No, I said.
Exodus 33 and 11 is what you said.
Yeah, 33
right?
and 11.
There's another one, Deuteronomy 34 and 10 says basically the same thing.
Yeah, it said the same thing. It said there'll never be another prophet in Israel like Moses, whom Yahweh knew face to face. You're absolutely right.
Okay, so could you give me your opinion on. I can't call this verse, but it's in my head. It says that in the day God is supposed to be speaking this, according to the scriptures, in the day ye shall see my face or hear my voice, ye shall surely die. You familiar with that one?
In the day that you see my face,
this is God speaking
or hear
to man.
My voice, ye shall surely die.
This was a verse where God was speaking to man and saying that no one can see his face and live.
No, that's also in Exodus 33rd chapter, but it don't go quite like that. I'm going to read it for you.
All right.
Because this is a verse that have deceived people for years because they didn't understand the total significance of it. And what happens is the 11th verse of the 33rd chapter already declares that Yahweh has spoken unto Moses face to face as a man speaking unto his friend. So Moses seen the face of Yah. But then there became this same day Moses asked Yah to separate him and the people from all the people of the earth. And the Almighty did that as well. Then Moses went overboard, and then he asked the Most High for something and said, I was teaching class today, and I was telling you, you better be careful about what you ask, because everything you ask for, you might get, but it has consequences with it. He asked the Almighty to show him his glory, not his face, but his glory comes out of his face. And the Almighty showed him his glory, but after seeing the glory of Yah, you know what? Moses was never the same. The rest of his life, he had to wear a veil on his face because every time anybody seen him, he ran. Or should I say they ran from him. He had to wear a veil until he went into his tent because everybody thought he had radioactivity or something. He was just shining so bright. And I'm going to read this for you. It starts at the 18th verse, the 17th verse. And Yahweh said unto Moses, I will do this thing also. In other words, separate you and the people from all the people of the earth. I'll do this thing also that thou hast spoken. For thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. Verse 18.
And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory.
Notice he didn't say, I beseech thee, show me your face. He said, I'm begging of you, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And notice what the Almighty said to him when he asked to see his glory. The Creator didn't say, I'll make my face pass before you. Yahweh said in the 19th verse, and he said, I'll make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of Yahweh before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. In other words, I'm going to be gracious unto you, Moses, and I'm going to do this. I'm going to let you see me when I allow all my goodness to pass by, because his goodness is his glory, and his glory comes from his eyes. And he said in the 20th verse, in this context, he said, thou cannot see my face, for there is no man that can see me and live. In that context, after he said, show me your glory, and Yahweh said, behold, there shall be a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my what? Not while my face pass by, but while my glory pass by, that I'll put thee in the cliff of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I will pass by. And thou, I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back part, but my face shall not be seen. In other words, his glory came from his face. And Yahweh put him in his cliff, and he took his hands. Yes, Yahweh has hands, and he covered his eyes. Then he stepped forward, and Moses seen his back part, his back, as he walked away, but he didn't see his face because his glory, his goodness, was coming from his face. But as a result of asking the Almighty that question, it says in the 34th verse, notice what came to pass in the 34th verse. It says,
But when Moses went in before Yahweh to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spake unto the children of Israel.
In other words, he's reading at the book of Exodus, the 34th chapter, the 33rd. We're going to start at the 33rd verse. And it says, and to Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But when Moses went before Yahweh to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out, he spoke unto the children of Israel, all that which he was commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put a veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him. In other words, the rest of his life, he wore a veil because he was in the presence of Yah's glory, which proceeded out of his face. But see, the Almighty let Moses know also in the book of Numbers that he was extremely unique unto him. He tells him in the 12th chapter of Numbers, if we go there, the 12th chapter of Numbers, that he does look at Moses, and Moses does look at him, and that Moses see him in a way that no other person nor have been seeing him beforehand. He says in the 12th chapter.
That's very good.
Notice what it says here in the, I want to start reading in the 4th verse.
And Yahweh spake suddenly unto Moses, and unto Aaron, and unto Miriam, come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And Yahweh came down in the pillar of the cloud, and stood in the door of the tabernacle, and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both came forth.
And he said unto him,
hear now my words.
If there be a prophet amongst you,
I, Yahweh, will make myself known unto him in a vision.
And I will speak to him in a dream.
My servant Moses is not so.
Who is faithful in all of my house.
With him will I speak mouth to mouth.
Even apparently.
And not in dark speeches.
And the similitude of Yahweh shall he behold. In other words, he said, any other prophet, I speak in a vision. He might see me in a dream, but with Moses, he speaks what?
Face to face,
mouth to mouth. So it was only in the context that Moses asked to see his glory that Yah said, no man can see my face and live. In that context.
That's very good.
Yes.
Just the last thing I want to say, and then I'll be out your way. So I'm going to do this real fast. In the book of Ezekiel, Elijah went away in a flaming chariot, right?
No, not in the book of Ezekiel. You're talking about the book
Kings. Right.
Yes. In the book
Yes. Oh, in the book of Ezekiel, right?
No, in the book of Kings.
Okay, I might be wrong.
Yes.
Anyway, Elijah had been gone for approximately 3,000 years. Moses had been gone for 5,000 years. What happened on the Mount of Transfiguration then when they witnessed with Jesus?
No, that was not Moses. That was not Elijah. That was just something you read in the New Testament that never took place.
So you're saying the transfiguration is not real?
No, it's not real. The New Testament is not real. The New Testament itself is a bogus book that was written by your enemies to deceive you. Everything in the New Testament contradicts the word of the Most High. Yahweh does not speak in the New Testament, and everything the New Testament says is a total lie because it speaks against the words of Yahweh.
Okay.
And any book that speaks against Yahweh and his laws is a book that is not worthy of reading.
Okay, so it says that God came from Teman. Have you ever seen that before, too?
Yes, I've seen that in the book of Job. I'm familiar with that as well.
Okay, all right, thanks, brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, okay. Noel. Yes, sir.
Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Right now, we're going to appreciate you, brother. Thank you, Candyman. It was very delightful to have a beautiful conversation with one of my brothers. But right now, we're going right to Sister Jackie. Sister Jackie, how are you?
Shalom, Brother Israel.
Shalom, shalom.
It's to Yah be the glory.
Hallelujah.
You know, I really enjoyed your word tonight.
Thank you.
What is puzzling to me is like a lot of people say, well, back then we were under the law. Now we're under grace. And that's the excuse people use for us not obeying the law. Yeah.
Well, that's the excuse that people use for using stupidity instead of good common sense. We have always been under grace. You just read that Moses found grace in the sight of Yahweh.
Correct.
You just read in the book of Exodus 33rd chapter, the Creator said, I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And you read that Moses found grace in his sight, and he know thee by name. So you found out the Noah found grace in his sight. The Almighty's mercy endured forever. Grace didn't just come with J.C. Grace was already here. J.C. didn't bring nothing new to the earth. And he said that law came by Moses, but we're supposed to be under grace now. If we're under grace now, is it okay to murder? Is it okay to commit adultery? Is it okay to rape somebody since I'm under grace? No, it's still against Yahweh's law. Satan has tried to do all of his tricks of subtlety to mislead our people and trying to get them to believe that they don't have to obey the Most High. But what I'm telling you today, Sister Jackie, that is that these are tricks of the devil. As the Almighty says in the book of Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They think the Almighty's laws are done away with, but they think they got to obey all the other laws of the land. Everybody has laws. You have the laws even to walk. There are certain laws you got to perform and able to take a bath and able to swim and able to eat correctly. There are certain laws that you have to follow. You have laws in city hall, county laws, state laws, city laws, federal laws. Everybody got laws. I got laws in my house. You have laws in your house. Laws in the schools, but these fools will tell you that Yahweh's laws are done away with. But nevertheless, every time we see the birds, they still fly and they still go to the south. Every time we see it rain, there's always a rainbow, and they will tell you that Yahweh's laws are done away with. Well, sir, would you can believe that when you see all the natural laws of Yah not being binding no more. But I said one way to tell the truth is that all truths are consistent to universal laws. And as long as there's universal laws, you know Yahweh's laws are not done away with. How is he going to allow the laws of the universe to remain, but take away the laws that govern the affairs of man?
Brother Israel, okay, I want to ask you another question. You were saying we're a people that other countries don't even like us.
No, they hate us.
They hate us.
The other people hate us. And I don't care how low these other people are, they find it in themselves to hate you.
Okay, could you say it'd be the same by why our people hate each other?
Yes, that's prophesied. The Almighty said that he would turn every man against his brother and every brother against his neighbor, and it'd make a man's foes of his own household.
Okay.
And he would cause the young to rise up against the elders. All this is prophesied in the scriptures.
Yeah, be the glory.
Yes, to be the glory. Hallelujah.
Shalom.
Shalom, shalom. Thank you. Thank you, sister. Right now, if anybody want to call us from out of town or in town, 749-1230. Right now, I'm going right to Brother Lonnie. Brother Lonnie.
Shalom, my brother.
Shalom, shalom.
I'd like to start out by saying, giving the Most High all the praise, by saying hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Brother Israel, I am so thankful that the Creator gave you that vision of this lecture this evening, because a lot of friends of mine seem to think that by their voting is going to change something, and I have taken them to certain scriptures that you have quoted this evening and showed them where our votes don't mean a hill of beans. But they break their neck going out here to these voting polls, standing out in the rain. Back then, you lose your life over trying to vote during the civil rights movement.
Yeah.
And that should have told our people something then.
Yeah.
You know. But as the Most High said, we are a hard-headed people. You know, we listen to people that don't have our interests at heart. You know, so
they're going to tell you, well, you have to vote because some of our people died for us to vote.
That's what I'm talking about.
Well, some of our people died for us to be able to fight in wars.
That's right.
And now we're dying at a disproportionate number to our races in these same wars that they fought and died for us to be able to fight in.
Hallelujah.
You have people dying because they want drugs brought into the black community.
Mm-hmm.
So am I going to accept drugs because people dying to bring drugs into the black community?
No, sir.
Our people are dying today as they did yesterday for lack of knowledge. That's why our people are dying, sir.
And I thank
you. Now, voting has never been a mechanism used to eradicate the suffering and oppression of a people.
Yes,
history
sir.
Is and always has been our best source of knowledge. And according to history, there is nowhere in the annals of history where any people have ever been liberated because they voted themselves to freedom.
That's right,
they
brother.
Voted their way to liberation. They voted their way to salvation. Voting is not a mechanism used to bring about freedom. Voting is a mechanism used by the colonial masters to pacify their colonial subjects.
And besides that, brother, it's a paycheck.
That's all. That's all.
It's a paycheck.
That's all.
But brother, I thank the Most High for bringing you to us and everyone in the listening audience. Please listen to this, brother. Brother, shalom.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. Appreciate you, Brother Lonnie. Right now, we're going to go to Brother Kimuel. Brother Kimuel.
Hey, shalom, all right?
Shalom, shalom.
You know what? This is an extremely exceptional, even though every Sabbath, y'all will give a good show, but this is very good because you are using Yah's word, and you are even simplifying them where the people can understand them. You know, and for the people that are listening to you and can't or do not want to believe the words of Yah that he has revealed through you, I mean, then so be it, you know.
Well, like Samuel, like the Most High told Samuel, don't be upset, Samuel. The people have not rejected you. They rejected me.
Exactly.
So when I talk, the people not rejecting Alicia. Alicia didn't write this book. Alicia didn't put these words in. Alicia has no unique value that he's the only one that's able to see this. You had other great prophets and great holy men that were seeing these things the same way that I have.
Exactly.
But this is for the living. This
okay.
is for the living to know, not the dead.
Okay, I'm all right. This is what happened to me this week, and I've been talking to a lot of Gentiles, you know, at my job, you know, and they keep saying JC, or and when they see that I combat that falsehood of JC, then they try to say G-O-D, or God loves everybody. But first of all, referring to Moray Elisha, first of all, Deuteronomy 27:26, Yah told us through one of his prophets, he said, cursed be he that confirm not all the words of this law to do them.
That's right.
You know, so Moray has to tell you, whether it's our own people, whether you get an attitude or anything, he has to say what's true. He can't back off of it no matter what. So whether a lot of people like these words or not, you know, I mean, like I said, then so be it. That's on you,
okay.
You know. But I'm gonna end it with this. I'm going to say one thing. This white guy I was talking to had a biblical conversation at my job. He said that, okay, but you show me what the Almighty, or he used the word God, and I say Yahweh Elohim, that he was going to raise anybody other than J.C. up. So I took him to Jeremiah, you know, 30:7-8, 9. And we finished at 9.
Yeah.
And I said, what do you mean by that? He said, okay, but no, see, he really trying to say a seed. I said, where do you see a seed at?
You're right, bro.
You know, and the guy was stuck on it.
I know, bro.
You know. So one quick thing.
I got to go now. I got a lot of people on the line, but I appreciate that.
All right. Thank you,
brother. Thank you, brother.
Y'all take care.
Blessed be you. Thank you very much, Brother Kimuel. That was beautiful. We go on to Sister Nadine right here in Cincinnati. Shalom.
Shalom.
How are you? How are you? Hello?
Shalom.
Shalom.
I'm blessed. How about yourself?
Excellent. Thank
Wonderful.
You.
I just had a question.
Mm-hmm.
You said everything in the New Testament is a lie, correct?
Let me restate that. Everything in the New Testament that's not consistent with the words of the Most High is a lie. And that means the majority of it is a lie.
Okay, but not all of it then.
No, that is some truth in the New Testament.
So there is some truth.
Yes, it is.
Okay, good.
And I'm glad you called me so I could correct myself.
I am so glad.
Yes.
Okay, the reason I'm asking that is because the one sister that had just called in, she was asking some pertinent. Well, first of all, I just wanted to say I like the way that you were going over Exodus about the Moses and his asking to see Yahweh in his glory,
mm-hmm.
and then the face-to-face. You went to the text, you know, you went scripture by scripture, you quoted them,
yes.
you know, calling out what verses and everything. But when this one sister called in, and she was asking some questions, and she had said something like, why do we go against each other, why we hate each other? And you quoted some scriptures about, you know, we're going against each other and everything. Where is, you didn't say where it was found.
Okay.
And for unlearned people.
You're right. That is true. Let me show you where you can find this in.
Mm-hmm.
You can also find this in the book of Isaiah. And we're going to read a couple of verses for you in Isaiah, the third chapter.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what it says.
Okay.
The Creator says in Isaiah, the third chapter, we're going to start at the fourth verse.
Hold on.
He said, I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them, and the people shall be oppressed every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. And the child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. When a man shall take over his brother, the house of his father, saying, Thou hast whole clothing, be thou ruler, and let this ruin be under thy hand. In other words, the Almighty is speaking about the condition of his people.
Mm-hmm.
And he says in the 12th verse, as for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they that lead thee, cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy path. So that's one of the things that I quoted, but I didn't give her the verse. I just was telling her a lot, but I didn't take time to give the verse, and I'm glad you corrected me.
Okay, now, you said Isaiah 3rd chapter, and you read from what verse to what verse?
I read from the 4th.
To the 12th.
4th and 5th, and then I started at the 12th to the 14th, or should I say the 12th verse. I read that as well.
All right.
But this whole chapter is dedicated to our people, the arrogance and haughtiness of our people.
Mm-hmm.
When we begin to backslide against the Creator, he told us what would befall us. And one of the things I told is that the people should be oppressed, everyone by another. That's black on black crime.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone by his neighbor, the 5th verse. And the child should behave themselves proudly against the ancient, and the base, the lowest, against the honorable, and you have this taking place today.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
I just wanted to say thank you for clarifying regarding the New Testament.
Thank you.
And
thank you for allowing me to do so.
Thank you. Well, what I wanted to say is for people that may be ready to go to the next level or for unlearned people, I just think that if you can quote the scriptures where they are and just not say, well, it's in the scriptures.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, ma'am.
That would just help us so much
yes,
more.
Yes, it would. And I try to do it most of the time, but I was trying to get a lot past her at one time.
Well, this is my first time listening, and I have to say I have been enlightened thus far, and I will continue to listen, and may Yah bless.
Thank you. May Yah bless you, too.
Thank you.
Shalom, shalom. That was a beautiful conversation. Sister Nadine, really loved that. Right now we have Sister Tina, and we want her to come on. And anyone else, call us at 513, area code 749-1230. We have some very intelligent young ladies here in Cincinnati, and I know there's more of you all out in that audience. So we want you to call in. And I look to hear from you, Missy. You'll call in today. I hadn't talked to you in a while. So call them and give me your input on this. I'd like to hear your opinion. But right now, I'm going right to Sister Tina. Sister Tina.
Hi, Brother Murray. How are you tonight?
Excellent.
Good, good. Wanted to call in to your show tonight. I've been listening to you for like 3 years.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, and even during the hiatus. And I just wanted to call in and let you know, you may not agree with me, but I'm agreeing to disagree. In doing my research, I was lost, confused, and still am. But I did join a church about 7 weeks ago. And in my research and listening to you and absorbing and understanding you, I did go through some fires. And I understand that King James was a man that translated the Bible in his own translation, as there was Lutheran Bibles and other Bibles, Old and New Testaments. And the conclusion I did come to was that Jesus was a real man that really did live on this earth. And that was part of my decision, the main part of my decision. And with that conclusion, I realize or think and hope that he did all he can do the right thing and please God, even in the translation of King James, Lutheran, and other Bibles that are translating an untruth about this man. And because of the fire, I thought I'd go back to square one. Now, I know you do not agree. And I left the church about 10 years ago. I was very offended as I lived as an in-law in my own city, and my husband was looked at as family, and he was the in-law from another state. But because of this fire, I decided to go back to square one and join a church Because I didn't belong to one does not mean I was out here sinning. I was still searching and doing the best that I can do to do God's will. And with all that said, I did join, and don't be mad at me, please, a Baptist church. And I just wanted to let you know that myself, without catching it over the airwaves and talking, reading between the lines and everything, but I am still a very dedicated listener to your show, because you still teach me a lot of things that I need to know and need to hear out of the Old Testament. It could be called straddling the fence to you, but in my despair right now, so many currents are coming at me, and I'm just trying to stay above water. That's what I did.
All right.
Okay.
Yes, may I comment now?
Yes.
Sister Tina, first of all, it's a pleasure talking to you again.
You too, sir.
And finding you in good health.
Yes.
And second, you said you found out that the Christ in the New Testament was a real man.
Yes.
Hitler was a real man, but you're not worshiping Hitler.
No.
You might find out that George Washington was a real man.
Yes.
You're not to worship him.
Definitely not.
Now, what I'm telling you, he might have been a real man.
Yes.
But the Christ in the New Testament that you learned to love never existed. There's a group of Christian ministers that start studying, they're called the Jesus Seminar, and they start studying, trying to prove the authenticity of the New Testament.
Yes.
Here's what they came up with.
Mm-hmm.
They found out that 80% of the words in the New Testament that they attributed to Christ, he never said. Things like, I'm the way, the truth, and the light, and no man can come to the Father but by me. All those quotations that make him unreal, that make him as if he's God in the flesh, they found out that 80% of the things that they had him say was added by the Christian church. So the Christ that you know, the Christ that our people know, never existed. Now, there was a man that existed.
Yeah.
Just like if I die and somebody began to worship me as a god, and then somebody come along and say, yes, that was Elisha. I knew him back in Cincinnati. He did live. Mm-hmm. Yes, Elisha might have lived, but the man that they made me to be never existed.
Mm-hmm.
And they can exploit the dead. And here's a case that the white man exploit the dead, as he did with Martin Luther King. Now that he's dead, they made him American hero.
Yes.
He's on American dollar bill. They got American holiday for him.
Yes.
And they exploited him and made him one of the good old boys. But he himself was against this system. He was
right.
Against the wars.
Correct.
He was against this nation and what they were
yes.
teaching. But
yes.
that Martin Luther King would not be perpetuated in the books.
Mm-hmm.
They will only exploit the dead and use it for their own convenience.
I understand.
What I'm telling
part.
You, the man that you're worshiping was never to be worshiped. And if you learn out anything, let me say this last thing. Even if you regard the words of the New Testament, the Almighty is the one that's in control over everything.
Right.
He controls the Old Testament,
yes.
the New Testament, the Quran, and every
yes.
other book.
Yes.
And in his wisdom, he let you know in the New Testament, he got signs for his servants. Because in the New Testament, the Christ of the New Testament says, worship only God. The Christ of the New Testament
right.
said, yes, he said, no, worship
the great
me.
I am.
So and how can you go to a Baptist church to serve God when the whole Baptist church teach the worship of Christ?
Well,
and Christ did not teach people to worship him. The Baptist churches ran on a Sunday. The Christ of the New Testament never
yes.
went to church on the Sunday.
No.
Yeah, so therefore, everything the Christ of the New Testament really stood for, you're living in total opposition against
dear
that.
Oh, Lord. But, Murray, Alicia, though, I consider all that you're saying in this decision. And, yes, I did. And I pray to God and be with me in my confusion. And that's in my constant prayer. But I'm definitely searching in because you do good and you still don't succeed. you feel like you have to go. So I don't been to Saturday. I don't went to three Saturday churches, three visits each.
You've been to the rest. Come to the best. Come over on California Avenue, the 1664 California Avenue, and I will guarantee you, if you sit one day.
And I will. And you know what I was going to say also? I will.
All right.
I will come. And but
Hallelujah.
You know what, Brother, Mother, Murray, Alicia? This is Tina, and this is me. And we all want to be accepted as human beings, and we all want to be loved. I will come to your church, but I'm just who I am, and my life too exciting to exaggerate anything. But I'm just gonna let you know I will come faithfully on Saturdays to your church, but I'm also gonna go on Sunday too. I'm in a crossroads where I feel I have to go both days. That's just the way it is right now.
Well, you got some people right that like that.
Both days.
They go both ways. They
I
go
will
homosexual.
Now.
They go straight.
They're gonna make sure they get to both. Both churches because I'm in the Old Testament, and I get my comic relief from Numbers 22 with Balaam and the donkey, and I will go on Sundays for the organization and the belief that my mother, grandmother, and great grandmother, Miss Dula. And my uncle, Louis Dulles, and it's in the Historic Museum, left this earth under Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay, and so I will go to both, and I'm here alone. So I need both, okay? And I just want to be accepted.
I'll tell you what, just come over at one day, and if you want to go to the rest of them after that, that's fine. But I won't give you that.
Have to hear about it after tonight. But I'm just,
yes,
I'm
ma'am.
just, you know, it's just too much.
But see, that can only be, see, if two things, if you have one view, the two opposing views, the one thing, then one of them has to be a lie.
And you know what else made my decision? Because one of them is a lie, because you know what it is, Maureen.
But let me finish. Let me say this. I listen to you.
Yes.
And I think what it is, you have the same desire that most people have. Most people want to be appreciated. And most people want to be accepted.
By God.
And then, they want to be accepted by their fellow man.
Yes.
More so than God. That's what most people go to church. They go by the church. They don't go by the Most High. They go by the dictations of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the people in the church that they want to be accepted by. But let me tell you what the Christ of the New Testament said. He said, "Seek ye the straight gate, for broad is the way, and wide is the gate, that leadeth to righteousness, and few men shall find the way thereof. But straight is the gate, and narrow is the path that leadeth to righteousness."
Right.
And you want to walk on that straight, narrow path, that broad way that all the people are accepting you and walking in, and you are there with everybody. That's the wrong boat.
I've been so low, long, it doesn't matter about people.
Huh?
That's the point. It's about what I want to do now. Doing what everybody else wanted me to do.
I could not succeed.
It's about what I want to do.
And you
want to
be with your mom and daddy one day, and you don't want to miss out, and you want to be where they are at.
My daddy's still here.
Okay, want to be with mama, though.
Yes.
And you, mama went to church on Sunday and heard all
the
lies.
No, she did not. She only got saved the last 2 years of her life, but my grandmother and great-grandmother did.
All right.
Yes.
Well,
and I want to learn also, but the thing about that threw me off all the time, because I do pay my tithes, but I start paying tithes to the free store, and I went to every church. And the only thing that was I visit quite a few churches.
All right.
And the only thing that was disappointing to me, that all the preachers would profess Malachi 3 opposed to Deuteronomy 14, the last chapter.
That's right.
Would not do that, and we still have to go to the free store.
I want somebody to come in and testify about what they learned in the house of Israel that they did not learn in these other churches. I want somebody, I don't want to tell you, because the scripture said, don't let your own tongue praise you. I want somebody in the listening on it that heard me teach to call in right now and tell Sister Tina something. Because I want you to hear it
it's
from somebody.
Scary, but it is scary not to believe in Jesus. And when you go through fires like death you think that's a direct result of being rebellion against God. You'd think that's what it is.
Well, I tell you what, sister, I find it scary to believe in Christ, especially when he told the people don't believe in him.
Mm-hmm.
He told the people don't put no trust in him. He told the people that the worship God only. I'd be scared to believe in him to the extent that the Baptist people are believing in him today. I'd be afraid to believe in him when the Most High himself said, I am Yahweh the Elohim. I am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me, and showing mercy upon thousands of them that love me and keep my commandment.
Yeah.
I would be scared because in worshiping Christ, let me tell you something. According to the book of Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. Now, we don't have no commandments to worship Christ.
But we agree
We don't have no commandments to worship anyone but Yahweh.
But we agree Christ was a real man that lived, correct?
And yes, we agree that he
was a real man that lived. So I kind of like disregard some of the translation of King James. I know he lied about some things about Christ and Lutheran and other scholars that try to translate Hebrew into English. So I realize and understand, but I'm going on this man that really lived on the earth. Not that he's God himself, but I know the great I am is the great I am.
But
and
if a man really, let me stop you for a minute.
And he tried to do the right thing.
Let me see, if you want to worship a man, why aren't you trying to
I'm not worshiping a man. Yes, you are.
You don't want to face it, but you're worshiping the creature and not the creator. Moses was a great man, but I'm not here to worship him.
Yes, he was.
The Almighty told me not to worship anyone but him. If I was going to worship man, Moses would be my ideal model. But I wouldn't worship Moses or Noah or Abraham. And even though the Creator said, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Yeah.
I wouldn't worship them because the Most High is jealous.
Right.
So once those that know Yah fear him. And the only reason you're worshiping some man right now. And
I'm not worshiping a man.
Yes, you do. If you're Baptist and going to a Baptist church.
Yes, I am.
You are worshiping a man. And y'all don't want to face reality. And
the
pitiful thing about it.
Here's
the pitiful thing about it.
Well,
you're worshiping a man that tells people that he got a God that he worships.
Yes, he does.
And you're worshiping a second-handed God.
Well, he worshiped God. He tried to do the right thing, and I think he tried to show an example.
All right. Well, I'm going to have to let you go, sister.
Okay.
I tried about it. When are you coming by to visit us?
Next Saturday.
I look forward to seeing you, sister.
Yes.
Thank
3
you.
O'clock, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, that was a beautiful conversation, my most beloved sister Tina. That was very beautiful. And a lot of our beautiful Christian sisters don't want to face the reality that they're worshiping a man. Christ called himself the Son of Man. The Bible in the New Testament says that Christ was the son of Joseph. Now, if he was the son of Joseph, that meant he was not the son of the Most High. But we're going to talk to some other people. Right now we have Brother Levi, and right on, and then we're going right back to Sister Dundine. She'd been waiting to make another comment, but right now we're going right to Brother Levi. Yes, sir.
How you doing, sir?
Excellent.
Yes, I wanted to call in. You mentioned someone to call in that has been going to your services at 1664 California, and I wanted to say that what has enlightened me, and the main thing that I will say to anyone is that I go there faithfully on the Sabbath to hear the word of the Creator. That is the only, I studied hard. I wanted to know the truth, and I realized that you cannot get the word of the Creator in the Quran, where it's constantly saying we and what we did and us and the New Testament. I recognize that the Almighty never spoke in the New Testament, and I kept finding myself back into the word of the Creator, the first book, that all the other books had to acknowledge. Just to have premise, they had to acknowledge the Almighty's book.
Hallelujah.
And I just felt that I needed to bypass the middleman.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
I appreciate you, brother. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Sister Nadine. Yes, ma'am. Sister Nadine?
Yes.
Yes, Dean.
Yes, this is Nadine.
Yes.
Yes, I had another question. Yes, I'm here.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, my question, I heard you mention the fact that Christ never existed. Am I correct in that?
No, I didn't. I said that the Christ that she knows never existed.
Gotcha.
The Christ that she knows that's a representation of the New Testament is a man that some books said he's God. Some books said he's the Savior.
Right.
Some books said he's a son.
Mm-hmm.
And some books say you can't get to him except through the Father.
Right.
Some say he's the Son of God. Some say he's the Son of Man.
Mm-hmm.
And the Christ that most people know is coming from the New Testament, and 80% of the things that's put in the New Testament about Christ are false.
Okay.
According to the theologians that studied the documents, the authenticity of the New Testament found that these things were added, and they're not part of the original text. And so that's what I was saying.
Wonderful. Okay, then who is this Christ that you said, and it is true what you said, that he says, do not worship me. He always directed us back to Yahweh.
That's true.
Now, that's a fact.
Yes, it is a fact.
And
absolute fact.
That's an absolute fact.
Yes.
And as a Sabbath keeper,
mm-hmm.
but I am a Sabbath keeping I'm attend a Sabbath keeping church that worship Christ.
Okay.
So I have ill feelings about what I see in all of these Christian churches, whether it's a Sabbath Christian church or not, how they worship Christ when he said don't do it.
I know.
So my question to you is, who is Christ to you?
Who is Christ to me?
Yeah.
He's one of my brothers.
Exactly.
He's my brother. I'll tell you the truth. If Christ was living today in Cincinnati, I would bet everything I got he would be a member of my Bible class right on California Avenue. I'd bet every penny I have that he'd be a member of our class.
Because he's Hebrew.
Yes, he is. He's a Hebrew Israelite.
That's right.
And he believed in keeping the laws.
That's right.
And he taught the laws.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a great teacher.
Very much so.
Yes.
Okay, I really needed to get that. To hear that from you.
Yes.
Because the reason I'm saying that, what is his name to you? Because
that name is false. That's the reason I say the Christ in the New Testament.
Right.
Let me tell you. See, the white man has never had a god. All the gods that they ever worshipped were black gods. The white man never had a god of his own.
Mm-hmm.
The only gods he served other than real gods were mythological gods,
mm-hmm.
like Zeus and, and like Thor and like... And Zeus says this is who they named Christ from. He come from that.
Mm-hmm.
That's where he come from, and I'll teach on it another night. But they named him, this man, by the name of a false deity.
Mm-hmm.
And they have everybody worshiping Greek culture,
mm-hmm.
and that's what they're doing. And we're going to teach on that another time. But right now, time has ran out.
But
I wish you'd get back with me, and I can give you some more information.
I will definitely
My
do that.
My phone number is 226-7110. And if anybody want to watch our internet or listen to that, www.houseofisrael.org. And until next week, Nadine, I and Yah loves you and all the other listeners.
Thank you.
Until next week, shalom.
Shalom to you.